We're about 48 hours removed from the Bills and the Chiefs, that masterclass performance from Mahomes and Allen, and I'm not sure we'll see a game that will come close to the excitement that that game provided us, and I'm hopeful we do. I'm very hopeful we do. Maybe Cincinnati can keep it close with Kansas City and have a showdown in the AFC Championship game, and maybe San Fran and the Rams could have a crazy back-and-forth game, and let's hope that's the case as we approach the weekend ahead in the NFL. And a man who's played in many, many big games throughout his NFL career, he is Mathias Kiwanuka, two-time Super Bowl champion, joining us now on First Up. Good morning, Mathias. What's up?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm just happy to be on. I'm happy to be here. You guys hit it right on the head. We had had an amazing weekend of football. I'm still fired up from this weekend, man.
No kidding. No kidding. And in preparation for this conversation that we're having, Mathias, I was looking back at two Super Bowls you won, of course, both with the Giants, both over Tom Brady and the Patriots. And if you go back to the fourth quarter in your first Super Bowl in February of 2008, that was a game that was 7-3 deep into the fourth, and all of a sudden, the scoring just went crazy. It was, of course, we know that David Tyree catch was a part of it, and Plaxico Burress. What do you remember about the fourth quarter and kind of the seesaw battle between the Giants and the Patriots back in those days?
Yeah, so a lot of it comes down to preparation, you know, on both sides. When you get to this point in the playoffs, I think the teams are pretty evenly matched. Skill sets are there. So it comes down to, you know, passion, like how much guys want it and, you know, what type of preparation the coaching staff has been able to prepare. You know, like they'll save a certain number of plays and, you know, try to orchestrate the game in a way that, okay, we can set them up so that they're going to be expecting something, and then we can, you know, let this play that we've been working on all year and haven't shown on camera one time to work. So it's all out. You know, you're giving your best, and during the course of those games, a lot of guys end up stepping up and overperforming because they're just that motivated. You know, they're that inspired and they're that that well prepared. So at this point, almost anything can happen, and it comes down to, I think, passion and preparation.
Mathias, you touched on it, you know, in your first comment, saying what an incredible weekend it was of football. It's probably the best four games I've ever watched consecutively in the NFL, and I'm a Bills fan, so you can understand how heartbreaking that last game was for me. Probably I'm a former hockey player, played 16 years of pro hockey, and I've never been on that type of emotional roller coaster than I was in that game. But you played the game of football. Have you ever, you've won two Super Bowls, you've done it against the GOAT, the great one, the Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. But have you ever experienced any type of heartbreak like that in your career, or something that you've witnessed?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you in your career over time, there's tons of things that we've lost. I've lost overtime games and, you know, some games. I think when you in a season, when you look back and you haven't won a championship and you legitimately had the aspiration to do so, I think you start going back and looking at every single game, not just the last one. So I think the sting of this last game for, you know, the Bills or you know, for the Bucks, it'll be there. But then they're going to go back and look at, like, you know, all the things that went wrong during the season and try to correct them. And I think the great teams get better in that way. You know, they find out how they need to prepare their bodies for the entire season next year so they don't get run down. Coaches will start analyzing, you know, like how many reps, you know, players can take in November as opposed to, you know, if they're trying to make a run, you know, for the playoffs and that kind of thing. So I've been there and it hurts. It stings. You know, after we won that first Super Bowl that next year when we came back, you know, I think we had like something like 13 or 14 wins. I know we got to around 10 plus wins or something like that. And that team was expected to repeat, you know, during that whole year. I mean, we were just kicking butt and taking names, and we ended up out, you know, Philly put us out in the playoffs. And I remember thinking to myself, yo, it doesn't matter, you know, how many stories people write about you. It doesn't matter what you look like on paper. Like, you still have to bring it. You know, so I've been there. I've felt it. You know, the great teams will go back to the drawing board and look at every game, not just the last one.
Our guest is Mathias Kiwanuka, two-time Super Bowl champion with the New York Giants and also the host of Odds with Ends. We'll talk about some betting ramifications of the AFC and NFC championship game in just a moment, Mathias. But the big rumor du jour surrounding your former team and the Giants is that they are very interested, if not locking down, the Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator in Brian Daboll as their next head coach. What would the reaction be in New York with that decision if they were to be able to close the deal on Daboll?
I think at this point, the Giants are doing exactly what they needed to do. They weren't closed-minded when it came down to the end of the season in terms of, not firing Joe Judge, whether he felt like he deserved another year or not. The way that season ended, in my opinion, solidified that decision. So, at this point, getting a new general manager and a new head coach at the same time and allowing them to have input and say and, scouting and, all those things, it's necessary. And there's no excuses after this. There should be 100% accountability. And, we're going to have to be patient to some extent, but the results should be there a lot sooner than have been in the past. So I believe they're going about it the right way. If that's the choice that they make, then, God bless them. We got to get it done. There's nothing that is going to solve this other than getting a championship and getting wins in general.
Mathias, looking at the four teams that are remaining right now, the AFC, it's Kansas City hosting Cincinnati. In the NFC, it's the LA Rams hosting the San Francisco Giants, the San Francisco 49ers. The reason why I said Giants is because I sort of compare the 49ers team this year to your New York Giants team in 2007. You guys squeak into the playoffs the last game of the season. You're the second last seed. You go on the road and you upset teams, ultimately beating the unbeaten Patriots in what was the most epic Super Bowl victory, considering the way you guys won late in the game to come back, but also not allowing New England to complete the perfect season. Do you see similarities in a team like San Fran compared to a team like the Giants you played in, or do you think there's another team out there that has a chance to shock the world in this Super Bowl?
I see similarities there. I'm still leaning towards the Rams in this week's matchup, but in terms of the similarities of the 49ers, absolutely. I mean, you're talking about a team, the quarterback play was questioned, right? There's the decisions, they should move on. They said, when I first got to New York, that's all everybody wanted to talk about was, when are you guys getting rid of Eli? Fast forward 1 year, we win a championship, and it's, hey, do you know Eli? Can you bring him over? I get how that conversation goes, but I can tell you from being on the inside of a team like that, there's a reason why, those teams are quietly confident. Like, even though outside or on paper, they may not be the favorite, when you're in the trenches every day with a group of guys and you've played, for a number of years, I'm sure it's the same in hockey. You can kind of tell when a team has the focus, when a team has the confidence, when a team is out there actually giving it their all, as opposed to, some teams that may be better on paper. Maybe you have more stars, you have more, accolades behind people's names, but they're not 100% bought in to the mission or to the program. And those teams that are, that's what I'm saying. Like, you can get a lot more productivity out of guys who are less talented or less physically gifted because they believe in the system. If you're a defensive player and you believe in the system that your coordinator is running and you believe that everybody on the field is going to do their job and knows what they're supposed to be doing, you can play free and you can go out there and play without the fear of making mistakes. You have a much higher chance of coming out with a win just because of that. And then you have to have individual step up. Like, what Deebo Samuels has been able to do for that team has been nothing short of amazing. That's the kind of like heart and grit that you need to put a championship run together.
Mathias Kiwanuka, our guest, longtime NFLer. And let's discuss your old buddy Tom Brady, a man who you tormented as a defensive lineman, is terrified to see Kiwanuka and Strahan and Tuck and all the boys in the Giants coming his way, especially in the Super Bowl. It sounds like he's at least contemplating his future. He had some comments yesterday on a podcast that were a little bit, you know, questionable as far as how certain we are he will indeed return to Tampa next year or maybe play for another team somehow. What do you make of the possibility that Brady does indeed retire, Matthias?
I believe that he's telling the truth. I believe he really doesn't know yet. It's a tough decision on retirement because it's not just you know, Brady. Everybody goes through it. This is what you've done for your entire career. Now, he's done it much longer than anybody else. But, you know, people ask me, do you miss playing in the NFL? And I'm like, yeah, but you also got to understand, like, I had a football season every year since, like, the early 90s. So it's like, you know, it was just part of, you know, who I was. The leaves start to change, and I start getting ready for football, and then one day you're not doing that anymore. So it's a tough decision. I think with him specifically, the part that we'll never know and we should never know is how his family feels about it. You know, when you get to that age, and now I have, you know, children who are, you know, 7 and 9, you know, they do play a role. Like, how much time you can spend with your kids during, you know, a young age is very important. And if he can balance that, if he can has the support system and the structure and his family behind him, I think it'll make it easier for him to come out and play one more year. There are other things that are going to contribute to it. Like, is that team going to be the same? You know, we saw the departure of Antonio Brown, and, yep, you know, they have some questions on the defensive side of the ball. Is that defense going to be able to come back and to be healthy, you know, with the aging veterans that they have? And then offensive line injuries and issues, is Gronkowski going to come back? So I think, from a team perspective, it's going to have to be the exact right fit. It's going to have to be a situation under which he has a legit chance to compete for a Super Bowl. Otherwise, this probably would be time to hang it up. In his words, I believe I heard him say that, you know, you have to weigh whether or not you can still do it at a high level. And if you can't, then it's time to give somebody else a turn. And I genuinely feel like that's how he feels. I think he knows the circumstances that he needs in order for himself to perform. So he needs a great offensive line. He needs a great defense. He needs a couple of targets. He needs a tight end. Gronkowski's been his guy. And he needs, you know, a deep threat, somebody who could take the top off of the defense. Is Byron Leftwich going to be there? Is he going to be calling plays? If not, then who's going to be the play caller on the, you know, for on the offensive side? Because he has to have a relationship with that individual also. So there's a lot of things that I believe that he's weighing. But I take him at his word at this point. I believe he's not sure. It's too soon to make any life-changing decisions. Like, right after a playoff loss is not the time to be changing anything. You don't even want to make decisions on the color of paint for your kitchen because it might come out, you know, the wrong way. So he just needs to take some time away from it, get with his family, and then come back and make a clear-headed decision.
Oh, I find it really interesting. I think Aaron Rodgers is in a very similar situation to Brady right now. I think it's far more unlikely that Rodgers would retire. Of course, he's, what, 7 years younger than Brady. But both are on teams right now that have a lot of question marks going forward. Green Bay is $40 million over the salary cap and need to sign Devontae Adams, their best skill position player by a mile, the only guy Aaron Rodgers trusts, at least if we use Saturday night as an example. And then Brady, Godwin's injured. He's, what, torn ACL, so you won't see him for the beginning of next year. We know Antonio Brown is doing whatever Antonio Brown is doing. So I think both teams, it's almost there. Those quarterbacks need to look at the situation and be like, can I really win a Super Bowl? One with Green Bay, where there's going to be a ton of attrition. They're going to lose a lot of their best players simply due to salary cap. And the same would apply to Tampa Bay. Do you see it that way as well?
Yeah, I think with Aaron Rodgers, it's a little bit different. It didn't look like he was as passionate or as interested in that last game. And, you know, going into the week, I think that was the only game that I got wrong in terms of my picks on odds with ends. And I went back and forth, you know, but I was saying that when there's a lot of distractions and noise coming out of the quarterback position, which whatever team it is, it's always a concern for me because that's the – that's the leadership role that can't be cast away. You know, like you can find a defensive leader in a middle linebacker or in a safety or even a defensive lineman, but as a quarterback, you have to be a leader on the offensive side of the ball. It doesn't matter how good of a leader your offensive linemen are, or you can have a good receiver who's a leader, but the quarterback has to be a leader. And when he's distracted and, you know, you're listening to him and his podcast or his rant or whether you believe in what he's saying or not, all these things are taking time away from his preparation. You know, there's only so many hours in the day. So if you're spending time, you know, doing a podcast and doing interviews and talking about this and that's all time that you're taking away from your focus on your craft. And that was something that concerned me. So for Aaron, I think he still may want to play, but I feel he's probably closer to retirement than Tom Brady is. Tom Brady is still, to me, and
really?
I personally, he's still focused. I think so. I think the passion and the drive just didn't seem to be there for Aaron the way that it had been in previous years.
Wouldn't that be something? You win back-to-back NFL MVPs. You're like, all right, well, time to go travel the world with Miles Teller and Shailene Woodley. That could be very
right.
I mean, you know what? Nothing would surprise me with Aaron Rodgers. Honestly, I think that's
go be
kind
the
of the
Jeopardy
intrigue.
Host.
Well, he's was not cut out for that, anyways. Ken Jennings is an amazing Jeopardy host, but that's a conversation for another day. You mentioned Odds with Ends, your betting show. We love betting on the NFL on this show. First up, Matthias.
Okay.
Any picks for this weekend? I know the Bengals are 7-point dogs in KC. You have the Rams, who are 3.5-point favorites over the San Francisco 49ers. Which sides are you leaning towards?
Well, when the playoffs started, I had picked my Super Bowl picks were Chiefs and Rams, and I'm gonna stay that way right now. The concern that I have with the Chiefs is when Matthew went down. When Tyrann Mathieu went down early in that game, I said, "Oh crap!" Because I've played in a Spags defense, and Matthew was the guy. And if you watched during the course of that game, there was a lot of extra communication in the secondary and some missed assignments there. So he's in the concussion protocol. I think that's probably the biggest concern of mine for that game. And then on the other side, Deebo Samuel, same thing with his injury to his knee. Like, is he going to come back? Is he going to be healthy? He's been a big, huge part of the offense. So if those two guys come back, if Matthew comes back, then I'm staying 100% with the Rams Chiefs ending up in the Super Bowl. But Deebo Samuel could have something to say with that based on, you know, how well he comes back from his injury. But I'm still leaning Rams Chiefs for the Super Bowl.
All right. Well, you called it at the beginning of the playoffs. Why not stick with it? Why change or deviate from your opinion now? May as well keep rolling with it. He is Matthias Kiwanuka, two-time. Go ahead.
Yeah, the Bengals also, you know, that, like, I don't want to take anything away from the Tennessee Titans. Like, that game for me was one of the most exciting to watch because Landry and Dupree, like, they were firing off the ball. They had defensive play calls that were a little bit outside of the box, and they got to him 9 times, right? But that offensive line struggled tremendously, and it needs to be pointed out that if they don't get that together, that's going to be an issue because the Chiefs defensive front is pretty stout also. So that's one of my concerns for Cincinnati. Joe Burrow, obviously, like, he played an amazing game, and there's a lot to say about his mental toughness to get knocked down that many times and continue to get back up and face, that kind of adversity. So I have a tremendous amount of respect for him. I just think that, at the end of the day, you know, the Chiefs are just a little bit better.
Yeah, well, you played on some amazing defensive teams, some great pass-rushing teams, so you would know better than anyone. He is Matthias Kiwanuka, 2-time Super Bowl champ, Odds with Ends host. He does it all, and we appreciate you taking the time this morning, my man. Best of luck with your Chiefs and Rams prediction.
Thank you very much. Enjoy your day, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, buddy. That is Matthias Kiwanuka. Coco?
Chiefs and Rams.
Some big news while we were speaking to Matthias. Chrissy, hit it, buddy. Matteo Berrettini gets past Gael Monfils in the fifth set, and Forza Azzurri. We did it, the first Italian man to make it to the semifinals in the Australian Open.
Wow,
shout out to Matteo. And again, 43-1. That's the ticket I'm holding. Thanks to Mark Rowe for that one. And if it hits, Peroni's all around for the boys.
How about soups? Snacciatella soups?
Yeah.
Italian wedding soups?
Oh, could go for some Italian wedding soup right now.
I just saw 20 Fingers' eyes light up the screen when he heard Italian wedding.
No kidding. He is hungry. Probably making an appearance at Chipotle after the show. That's a 20 Fingers special. He shakes his head, but he goes all the time. Loves Chipotle. In any case,
I don't love our next great spot. Yeah.
We'll talk about Shapovalov's loss to Nadal last night. We'll talk about Berrettini's dub over Monfils, which just happened with Mike McIntyre. He'll join us next. His first up continues. The fourth hour coming your way on TSN 1050.